Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony.
Hey.
Dan Proft. What is your hat? MAGA Republican.
MAGA Republican.
It's MAGA country.
MAGA country. That's why I wore it.
The Ascendario brothers were on with Sean Hannity, and we're going to play that later, because they were really, they were apologetic.
Yeah.
They had no idea in the world that this would make world news.
Oh, come on.
No. They did not know. It was really good, and there was a live audience with Hannity, so we'll have that later on in the show. But whose bracket is still alive? Woo! Huh? Anybody?
Yours?
Anywhere? No. Where's my firm invite? Oh, it's not on the board. We're having one of those days.
Already?
Yeah. So yesterday, I had an exciting day. I had to go to the, where'd I have to go? To the auto pound. My friend's car was stolen and then found and then taken to the pound. But it's not the pound on Lower Wacker. It's the pound on Sacramento.
I don't know. I've been to the one Lower Wacker.
Well, how many times have you been to the one on Lower Wacker?
Just twice? Just twice.
Yeah, I've been there about.
And I even had government plates on it, and they still towed it.
Where were you parked, young man?
Well, a place
where...
Were
you parked in a snow route?
No. It was downtown Chicago. They're not supposed to touch the government plate cars.
Oh.
They did it anyway.
They did. Did you have to
And
pay
I'm
them?
Running on the side of her, hey, and she just kept going. And I had to go down.
I'd love to see that surveillance video of you banging on the window.
Yeah.
Stop, car!
No, she didn't stop.
She didn't stop?
She kept going.
It was a female tow truck?
It was a female tow truck.
Oh.
I think it was one of those Lincoln people. Remember the tow company that was in trouble?
Oh, yeah, Lincoln Towing.
Yeah, it was one of them.
They had the contract with the city forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably shady money.
I was so upset.
So I get down there to try to get my friend's car out, and the plates are expired, and the whole thing, it's just, you know. So you couldn't get it out. But the line at that place is unbelievably long. And I talked to one of the employees because he drove me to the car because I had to get some items out. Guess how many cars they get a day that are stolen or cars that were carjacked that were dumped?
Chicago.
Just this one location, not Wacker. Now, it's happening so much that they can't store all the cars in Lower Wacker.
150.
200. The most they had was 300 in a 24-hour period.
Oh, my.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
I know.
I wonder what they're getting, what they're towing them for, though.
Well, here's the thing. You don't want to get victimized twice. So you used to have to pay the recovery fee, the tow fee, if you got carjacked or if your car got stolen. And thank God that was probably the one thing Mayor Lightfoot did well. Was just change that.
Yeah, good.
So now we don't get victimized twice. You just get victimized once. But it was, that is a business. And there are so many Kias and Hyundais in there. I mean, the place was packed with, because that's the number one cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, those the Kia boys and the Hyundai boys are still in the mall.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to basketball. Anybody's bracket busted? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line. Oh, my God. Turnkey.pro text line. I can't speak. 646-36. Type in DA. Then a quick comment.
It's going to be one of those days.
Oh, no.
It's Friday, though.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
It's Friday, though.
Lord. Furman University Paladines. Here, you help me out. I mean, literally, I say I've never heard of the school. Mike, what's the name of the school?
Paladin? Furman.
Furman Paladins?
Well, it says Furman University.
Yeah.
Paladins.
Yeah.
Well, where the heck are they?
The Carolinas.
Oh.
They've been there forever.
Well, yeah, but I've never heard of them before yesterday.
Well, then you haven't been paying attention.
Well, no, because
Come on
I
now.
Haven't. All right, here's the call when they beat Virginia, who, of course, I had beating them.
Inbounder. Clark gets it in. gets it back with 10. Clark double-teamed along the baseline. Throws it up the floor. Intercepted by Haynes. Pegues for three and the win. He got it with 2.2 to go. 68-67 Paladins. Virginia calls its final timeout.
I've never heard of this.
They get it into Beekman on the
Virginia
right side.
Virginia had a chance.
His three on the way. No!
Shot.
And Furman wins it.
Furman wins it.
J.P. Pegues getting fouled by his teammates right here in front of us.
Greenville, South Carolina is celebrating this morning.
Oh, my God. The game took place in Orlando, Florida. I do know that much, but yes, I've never heard of that school before. Greenville, South Carolina. All right, so anybody.
And we are rooting for Furman. Why here in Chicago?
Why?
Because Ben Vanderwall, Elmhurst native, Timothy Christian grad, plays for Furman.
Oh.
Oh.
Look at that.
Now you're talking.
Mike, how do you know these tidbits?
This is why I asked Mike to come and join us, because
I know everything.
Good
no,
Lord.
No, my son Jeremy was one of Ben's student teachers last year.
Oh, that's great.
Before he graduated Timothy, and nice. We have connections to Timothy. So,
all right, so Northwestern remains.
Yeah, they played well. Guard play always wins in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
Good guard play always wins, which, by the way, is why Arizona lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arizona lost.
That was a tough Arizona.
Iowa
I watched
lost.
That game.
Oh, you did watch that game? So guess who I had in the championship?
Mm-mm. Who'd you have?
Don't say Arizona.
Did you follow our fearless president in selecting Arizona.
I selected Arizona. Well, I used to live in Tucson, so I'm a little bit of a U of A Wildcat fan. Yeah, Biden picked Arizona to win the championship. Arizona just lost to 15th seed Princeton.
Princeton's a good team, though.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Princeton is a good team.
Michelle Obama went there. I picked Arizona.
Still a good team. Great team, in fact.
Yeah.
Arizona versus Iowa.
No.
Iowa doesn't even deserve to be in the NCAA tournament.
Well, they're not in anymore, Mike.
I know.
Get your dream.
your bracket is completely busted.
I mean, I have no...
Chico.
Teeth in the game.
None.
No dog in the fight. I have nothing left.
Root for Iowa State. Come on now.
Root for who?
Cyclones.
Cyclones.
I would never do that.
Well, then root for Marquette. Who's your team? Marquette plays today.
All right. Who does Marquette play? We don't know.
I'll tell you in a second.
Tell me who made it and where we're going, because I don't know.
It's a 2:15 game. Right. Marquette plays Vermont today. The Catamounts.
Marquette's going to win.
Probably, yes. Yeah. They're a great team.
And Purdue made it, I'm sure. Ohio State, I mean, I don't even know what they but here's this. Millions of people
Ohio
fill out
State
brackets.
Did not make it.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they did. Yes, they did. You're right. Indiana and Purdue play today.
Yeah.
Guess how many people's brackets are still intact? Because that was a big win. Because
really
I've never
have no
been
idea.
Like I have never been like Biden before and picked Arizona, you know, to be in the championship. 787.
Is that right? I would
that
be curious about that number. That's
in
amazing.
In the whole world, only 787 people's brackets are still intact.
Yeah, there were some good games yesterday, and there's going to be more good games today.
Yeah.
More people crying in their Irish beer today.
Oh, that's right. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day. Where's Quinn? Right. Can we get Quinn in here? It's a family show. Happy You People Day.
Happy You People
Day. That's what I said. Is that,
what do you mean, You People?
Is that racist?
My wife will be calling you a little later. Thank you.
I mean, is that racist?
Yeah, no. I think Justin needs to have ready on the ready, what you mean, You People?
Right. What you mean, You People?
All right, so with our office poll, our current
what
bracket
was that?
Standings.
Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh, current overall standing. No. Overall. So our team here does a... We fill out brackets. So how am I in second place? How is that possible?
Your bracket?
Quinn McCarthy's in first place.
Quinn did well.
Amy Jacobson, I'm in second. Dan Proft's in third. Jacob is in fourth. And Justin Kosick is in, fifth place.
Justin, do you want to know what this company did to me?
What?
They blocked Justin and threw into junk my invitation to the morning show pool.
Really?
They did.
Oh, that's why you didn't play this year.
That's why I didn't play this year.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you, Salem.
Yeah, you would have picked Princeton probably, too.
I would have. Yeah. I saw Princeton play Yale. Yale deserved to be in the NCAA tournament, too.
Really?
Princeton, Yale, and the Ivy Championship, two very, very good teams.
Wow.
Very good teams. That's why you watch championship week leading into the NCAA tournament, because then you watch how teams play going into the tournament.
Mm. All right. Well, Mike, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. My analysis comes free of charge and is worthless.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission: to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560.
This is one of those days. Can we go? Let's just go. Nothing's here. It's all messed up. Let's go. Taking it to the streets.
I'm with you.
You know who's on the street this morning?
Uh-oh.
Superintendent Brown.
Oh, too soon.
What?
Too soon.
That's not too soon. He came in with such fanfare, remember?
Yeah, I do.
And I remember even Dan Proft. Was welcoming him like, hey, this could be good for Chicago.
Really? Wow.
Mr. Salty and curmudgeon-y. Yeah. And Superintendent Brown, I spent time with him. I always felt like he was just punching the clock.
Yeah.
His heart is in Texas. I know that. I lived in Texas. I know Texans. It grows on you. He was born and raised there. He was police chief for Dallas. Yeah. Lost 5 officers there. Remember that horrific shooting?
That. Yeah.
Yet never there. But in 2019, he said he came. You know, he's fresh face.
Right.
He just couldn't believe how Chicago worked.
Right.
And this is what he wanted to change. And I saved the soundbite for 3 years
for this day
because I'm a nerd. Just for this day for the day that he left, because he made a promise. Well, it wasn't a promise, but he wanted to change something.
Right.
He never got to it. And here it is.
For this to happen, we must keep violent offenders in jail longer in this city. And we must revamp the electronic monitoring program. It's not working.
But in order to do that,
yeah,
he needed to sit down and talk to Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, Tom Dart with the Sheriff's Department, because they oversee the electronic monitoring department. Never did that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they were so. And Chief Judge Evans and Mayor Lightfoot. Because Mayor Lightfoot lost in part because of Kim Fox. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line 646-36. Type in DA, then a quick comment. We'd love to hear from our law enforcement friends of who you'd like to be superintendent. And the decision's going to be primarily made.
Yeah.
On what mayor is, well, who's the next mayor of Chicago? Because Brandon Johnson, you know, he isn't committed to anything because he's a hot mess over there.
Right.
Paul Vallis says he's going to promote from within the department.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, because people respect Chicagoans. Mm-hmm. People from Chicago do not like outsiders. And we've done that time
Jody
and time
Weiss.
And time again. Jody, oh my
God. Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah. You know who was one of the best ones? What was
Phil Klein? Terry Hillard.
And Terry Hillard and Phil Klein.
Phil Klein, Terry Hillard. Who else?
Yeah. Who else? Those are my top.
Was it Brandon?
Top two.
Oh, my, Eddie those Johnson.
I liked Eddie, though.
Eddie's a good man.
I liked Eddie. Yeah.
But
I think the troopers liked him.
He took a little whiskey nap in his car at a stop sign. That didn't help. And then it was, you know.
But I think Brown ran into that political wall in Chicago. Plus, he had a mayor who really didn't like the police. So he, I mean, that was just a perfect storm.
You mean Rahm Emanuel? No. Well, he had Rahm and he had
That's right. But Lori.
Yeah.
He ran into Lori, and Lori just, she didn't see, I don't think they both shared the same vision of policing.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. He came from Dallas where there was, he actually had a say in how he ran that department. He came here. The superintendents mostly, for the most part, don't have a say in how they run this department.
Right. You well, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. The problem is, Eric Carter is the interim police chief. And let us not forget what Eric Carter did.
I remember.
Ella French, when she died, the protocol is you have bagpipes at a sign of respect and tradition, because we still, try to maintain some of that in Chicago. They come and they line the area where you take the body from the hospital to the morgue. They're at the morgue and they're playing, and he did not want to do that. He's like, let's go. Wrap it up.
Wow. You think he's in a running for it?
Pardon?
You think he's in a running for it?
No. I think he's just a placeholder. Yes. So, all right. So, last night was another debate on, this one was on ABC. And I don't know. I'm getting kind of tired of these. But this is the vision for Brandon Johnson. He wants free housing for everybody.
Oh.
It's a human right, but I'll let him say it.
The fact that we are debating whether or not housing is a human right, it tells you why we cannot rely upon the vestiges of the past.
But in order, that's just another government giveaway.
Right.
He wants to give away housing to people who are in apartments in the black community.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have the Cook County Housing Authority guy on my show probably next week.
Okay.
Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. He and I have been going back and forth. He was supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago. And I want to tackle that subject matter with him, because he says Cook County's doing some new things, different things, in how they're going about providing housing to Cook County residents.
Well, when I made $10,000 a year at my first job, I knew I wasn't going to have a house.
No.
I lived in a kind of an SRO.
Yeah.
I shared a kitchen and a bathroom with people down the hallway. I lived in a closet. My feet hit my
studio.
Clothes.
What we call the studio.
Studio. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Yes, I lived in a studio.
Studio.
So, I never expected the government to take care of me.
Was it bigger than this room?
No. It was I literally would walk in and the door would hit the bed.
Oh, gosh.
And then you'd shut it. And then my feet would, the bed, my closet started where the bed ended. So there was no, it was kind of a fire hazard.
Yeah.
But at least I had a window I could jump out of if I needed to.
What floor were you on?
I was on the third floor.
Yeah,
top floor. Only top floor for this pretty princess. So, what about you? Where is the worst place you ever lived?
Don't really have a worst place.
Really?
No. No.
You're never making $10,000 a year?
No.
Actually, I'm sorry. I made $10,700 a year.
Yeah, I mean... No, I didn't. I've never made $10,000 a year. No.
All right. So back to the debate last night. And if anybody watched it, let us know. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Because I'm, since I was on the south side yesterday, I was at 701 South Sacramento before I drove north at the right address. I could not believe how many Vallis signs there were.
Really?
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Go back today and see if they're still there.
I know. Oh, I know.
Now they're going to be gone now that you said it.
My Vallis sign was gone.
Yeah.
Who's taking political signs, campaign signs?
People get paid to do that.
All right. Here's Mr. Vallis, who should be our next mayor.
I was a kid and I got paid to go take signs when I was a kid.
How much did you get paid? $10,000?
Like $5, I think, or something like that. $5 was a lot of money for a 10-year, 11-year-old kid.
Would you take them?
I just take them and throw them away. Yeah. I was a kid.
Is this a crime?
Hey, the statute of limitations are over for that now.
So would you do that? Was this?
I was a kid. I was in Chicago. I got paid for it, so I went and did it.
And what neighborhood did you live in?
Southside, 21st Ward.
Where is that?
87th and let's say Halstead, Emerald.
Okay.
Yeah, 21st Ward. That's where I grew up at.
I'm doing the show this morning with the thief.
Yes, well, hey, I got paid for it. Got me a lot of bubblegum.
All right, so Brandon Johnson on policing.
What we're going to do is train and promote 200 more detectives, because we're not solving crime in the city of Chicago, especially in black and brown poor communities.
Where majority of the crimes used to happen, but now the majority of crimes, there is no majority. They're in all 77 neighborhoods. Paul Vallis's response?
New York has 6,000 detectives. That's not smart policing. Smart policing is filling the vacancies and pushing the police officers down to the local beats so they can respond within minutes of a 911 call.
Now, is that a reasonable answer?
He's right. Paul Vallis is right. You know, I think where they also focus their enforcement, you know, like now it's a lot of downtowns, the north mm-hmm. side. But, I mean, that walking that beat is something about walking a beat as a police. I used to do it a lot.
I miss getting pulled over by Chicago police.
You miss it?
Yeah, I haven't been pulled over. No, you can be on your phone watching a video doing a... They don't, but because they're not there.
Wow.
I rarely ever see a cop car.
Yeah. I would not be in. You're the next poster child for something to happen for them to take your pension and you end up in jail. Why enforce? I think that's the mentality that a lot of people are taking.
All right, you heard Brandon Johnson on housing. Hear it again in case you're just joining us.
The fact that we are debating whether or not housing is a human right, it tells you why we cannot rely upon the vestiges of the past.
And Paul Vallis's response.
I'm basically debating with someone who has never managed a budget. Voting for a budget is different than putting a budget together and passing it and then implementing it.
And that is so true. So I talked to a few black aldermen who are part of the caucus who said they interviewed both candidates, the whole black caucus. They got together on a Sunday. Paul Vallis came in first.
Yeah.
He's managed budgets. He managed the city's budget.
Yeah.
He's managed the school budget, not only here, but in other places as well. He's been to Haiti more than 40 times because he's also philanthropic and he's got a good heart.
Yeah.
Brandon Johnson, they said he was prepared. Great. Brandon Johnson, I said, how bad was it? And there was, it was unbelievably bad.
Roger Sawyer actually alluded to it. He wouldn't say what, but
I know because they keep in their chain. Yeah. Like they're not, it wasn't him. It was some other alderman that told me this, but they said it was embarrassing.
Bloodbath.
He wasn't prepared. He didn't take this caucus seriously. Yeah. And that's why, you know, yesterday, Alderman Beal, I had my list here, but it's not here.
Emma Mitz or something like that. Wasn't she on
there? Was several aldermen, you know, black, white, Asian, that supported Paul Vallis. And Kwame Raoul supported.
I saw that.
Brandon Johnson yesterday. Is that going to move the needle?
No.
Okay.
And I'm shocked at that, honestly.
That Kwame? Why? Is he progressive?
Not,
Illinois Attorney General?
Kwame's not really part of that woke crowd. I spent a lot of time with Kwame in the General Assembly. He's really not about that wokeness, you know.
There's got to be something in it for him.
Maybe JB. Maybe JB's unleashing all of his people to go and start endorsing Brandon without JB actually saying he's going to come out and endorse.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Roger. Let's try that again. Roger on the South Side. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, my girlfriend Amy. How are you? Happy St. Patrick's Day.
We're dating? Girlfriend. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Where are we going tonight?
Yeah. So okay. Excited. You've always been a cheap date. But anyway, let's...
Cork and carries on the South Side.
Oh, what I wanted to say was this. I called during the week. Which of these candidates, let's start talking brass tacks here, is going to be willing to go heads up with Preckwinkle, Tim Evans? You don't really need to even say Kim Fox. I don't even know if she knows she lives in the state or where she's at. That we need to turn these woke judges around, the 3 hour a day for $200,000 a year. But I mean, Preckwinkle is our problem. She is the state of Illinois' problem across the board. And until we get in there, and or somebody gets in there and says, "Hey, listen, we need to run a viable candidate." You know, the problem is that she owns the Board of Elections. She has every person who works at Board of Elections, you know, is beholden to her in a job or a favor or something like that. That's where the votes are counted. Okay, but I mean, day one when she got in last term, she had her sit down with the sheriff. She had her sit down with and say, "Hey, listen, this is going to be our prerogative going forward. That, you know, this is going to be Animal Farm, and everybody's going to live with it." So I mean, you're not going to get even if Vallis gets back in, it's going to take a lot to get the police department back. you know, this, we're at a crisis stage here. We're at a crisis stage where, you know, where you're at, Amy, in Lakeview. All right, I remember it in 1984, you know, and it was on the verge of going. You know, people were buying three flats for $40,000.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get one by Wrigley for, like, Murray, Murphy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
The Bleachers.
Yeah. Murphy's Bleachers. He got that three flat for $37,000.
Oh, and what is worth now? Millions?
I mean, it's a multi-million dollar property.
Well, for today it is. What's it going to be worth in a year and a half from now when people who come into one, I think Wrigley Field is our top tourist attraction, one of our top tourist attractions, when people are getting killed and robbed. People aren't going to come.
I know. You know, and it's so weird because remember Lincoln Park used to be the bar scene? That area is dead.
Really?
There are, I mean, there are no, because my niece lives here and I asked, you know, where do you guys go?
Yeah.
They always go to Wrigleyville, the bars in Wrigleyville. So, all right, thanks, Roger. Thanks for the phone call.
Right now, that's probably
vote
the only
for
place.
Paul Vallis. Is it bad that I gave my Uber dollar $20 and said vote for Vallis?
Gosh, you buy votes.
Is that buying votes? Because he was undecided. I talked to a lot of people yesterday when I was waiting in line at the Pound. Bow, wow,
hello,
wow.
Were you there?
Hours.
Yeah.
And only to find out that I couldn't take the car out anyway. But anywho, people are undecided. I ask everybody. And I try to, I'm like, can I give you my spiel on Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson? And then they let me. But the cab or the Uber driver, I worked him because it was a long ride home. And he's like, okay, all right. Stop
I'm voting for
talking.
Him.
He put the mute button on me.
Oh, God.
All right, Paul Vallis, Brandon Johnson here. Let's finish this up.
Okay.
Yeah, here's what I know about budgets. Paul is not good at it.
Ooh. Oh,
ouch.
Because at the end, they got to ask each other questions. Yeah. And Brandon Johnson talked about, you know, his greatest job was being a middle school teacher, which he did for 3 years.
Yeah.
It was such a great job. Why are you still doing it? Because he took a higher paying job with the CTU as a community organizer, and he's still getting paid six figures.
Jeez.
So if I ever had access to him, because they will not let me get access to him, and I don't have time to sue him, or to fight for my press credential rights. I would ask him, what do you do on a day? Do you get up like everybody else early in the morning and go to an office? Or what does, you know, because he's a Cook County commissioner, which he's not decided or he's not authored any bills or anything like that. Or any
nothing substantive.
No, he's just a yes vote for Tony Preckwinkle.
Wow.
So I don't know what he does for $100,000 a year. That's a good gig.
Oh, community organizer? Is that the position name that he has?
Yes, CTU community organizer. All right, here's Paul Vallis. Because Brandon Johnson was talking about, you know, working in Cabrini Green at Jenner, and that was his dream job.
I'm running against somebody who talks about the best job he ever had was being a teacher, and he taught for 5 years in the school that I built in Cabrini Green called Jenner.
Ouch.
And Paul Vallis also put the IB programs in at Lincoln Park and at Amundsen High School. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And he left with a surplus. So you're going to, I mean, there's so much lies on Twitter, probably about both candidates, but a lot about Paul.
Right. Well, because they don't want him. They don't want him. They don't want him to win. Should he win, they know that there will be a lot more changes than if Brent, should Brandon win. Brandon wins. I call him double down
wins,
Brandon.
If Brandon wins, I have to move.
Yeah, well.
Well,
move.
What?
Move. Hey, the only reason why I come to Chicago is for the Cubs game. That's it.
Really?
Cubs or Bears games. I don't come
to
Chicago.
You go to Bears games?
Yes, I do.
Ugh. That must take you a half a day to get there.
But no.
I live, 7 miles away from there, and it takes at least an hour and a half.
Really?
I'd be better off riding my bike down there to get there.
Well, I'll park away from Wrigley and then walk.
Okay. Where do you park?
Far
you can
away
park in my neighborhood.
Well, or...
What?
Somebody gives me the parking pass.
Right. I do that, too. Yeah. I live there. I've been giving away parking passes since 1996.
Uh-oh.
My other neighbors, they charge for it.
Why?
Because you can.
Oh.
And that's the whole thing. Welcome to America.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560. The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission: to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey, hey, hey.
And you're on camera today.
I am.
Lights, action.
I was on camera yesterday. Camera.
Yes, no. I'm not today.
It was a little shaky.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Why, because we're rocking the studio?
Justin had to come in and adjust it.
Well, no. Well, you look good on camera. Some people don't look good on camera.
You're on the camera. Camera's not even looking at me. Look.
No, but you're on that camera.
Oh, that those are back working?
Yes.
Okay.
The cameras, which is good. Okay. I don't know if you heard, and we'll get to Kamala Harris because she was on Stephen Colbert. Oh my God, she is a train wreck. I don't. She's trying to reinvent herself again now for a fourth or fifth time, but it's not working. All right, the Asandario brothers. Uh-huh. You know, they were the ones who were part of the hoax that allegedly poured bleach. No, they actually did pour a little bit of bleach.
It was not a hoax, Amy.
It wasn't a hoax?
He believes it.
Oh, if he still believes it, if anybody on this planet still believes that Jussie Smollett is a victim,
you
got some splaining to do yourself.
Yeah.
Because the Asandario brothers are going to be on Fox Nation. It's actually already out.
Yeah.
And they, and it's really, the clips that I've seen, I can't wait. I'm going to subscribe to Fox Nation so that I can watch it. It's intense.
Yeah.
And they walk you. There is no detail that is not explained. I mean, everything, they walk you through it. They say what happens. This is, you know, they reenact it.
They took our beautiful bench.
That's the bench they were sitting on waiting for him.
We waited for Jussie to come before we attacked them.
They did actually.
So we got here with 10 minutes to spare. And we had to plan our escape route to survey the land. His building is actually right here, right above the stairs that we're going to attack him at. We made sure we got there
right
at 2 a.m. sharp.
On the dot.
On the dot. We had no phones because he did not want us to bring any phones. He said, so we don't lose them. I don't know if that's really the reason, but you can deduce your own reason.
So then they, you know, this is what happened. So he finally arrives.
So I saw him out the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, that's him. Let's go. We gotta go get this empire. Yeah, that's him.
And they
that's
really, him. They rehearsed
that's
these
that
lines.
Nick.
The exact word.
Get that nick.
Oh, he's moving fast. Come on, let's get him.
Get that nick.
Let's get him. As we cross the street, we say hey to get his attention.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. He turned around, looked at us. And that's when we started yelling the famous slurs he wanted us to yell. Hey!
Aren't you that Empire
hey, f***ing Empire fat Nick?
Ooh.
It's MAGA country.
And they didn't think anything, if they said MAGA country, that was going to be perceived as, you know, hurt Trump supporters, be sexist, racist, xenophobic, homophobic. And they apologized last night on Hannity for making Republicans look bad.
Oh.
And making Trump supporters look bad.
Not only have we gotten to know people that are like that, our parents are pretty conservative. Although they are Democrats, but in their thinking, they are conservative. And in turn, we are conservative in a way.
We have conservative views.
We have conservative views. More conservative views than liberal views anyway. Yeah. So.
And well, so it's hard to work. Hard R, Republican my whole life, proud of it. You know, so one of the local papers when I had ran for a little local election. I had been running as a Republican for over a year, and they were still printing that I was a Democrat because I'm a Latina. And yeah. I must be a total Democrat.
I want to support your campaign, so come on this show. I'll tell you the best thing. Thank you for coming. I think people need to go to Fox Nation and watch this. It's really interesting. And the best thing that you both said is you apologized. And you know what I saw? Sincerity. Thank you for apologizing.
This is the apology.
We know they're capitalists.
312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Anybody buying this apology? And I think this is the apology.
Oh my God, I have two innocent guys here that are being accused of doing this horrific hate crime. Yeah. And so my natural instinct really was to first, unlike a lot of the journalists that were out there reporting this, my instinct was to first get a handle on the facts. And that same night that I met them, I went by myself, had to cancel my plans with my wife and say, I gotta go down to the scene of the crime.
Right.
And I looked around and I just remember thinking, it is dark, it is laid out, and there's nobody out here. It's super safe. This is ridiculous how this would happen.
That's Gloria Rodriguez, their attorney.
Oh, okay.
You know, but she was like everybody else, you know, knew that this was a hoax. All right, so have they gotten to know people who are Republicans? Have they reached out? Have they done some healing? Because it was so divisive. You know,
it was.
I had people at my church, a gay couple. I was in their apartment. We were doing in the rectory. And I told them, I said, you know that this isn't true, that it's a hoax. And they were just, oh, no, it's not. I said, yeah, I have friends that are law enforcement agents. Right. This whole thing was orchestrated. He paid them to do it. That's going to come out soon. They rehearsed it. They bought the rope at, you know, Crafty Beaver on Lawrence.
Crafty Beaver?
Yeah. Oh, you've never been to Crafty Beaver?
No.
Oh, it's on Lawrence near Ashland. Oh. And they still couldn't believe it. And Kamala Harris, our vice president.
Oh, yeah. She called it a modern day lynching.
What did she call it?
Modern day lynching.
She tweeted that out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she did. She did.
And her and other stars supported Jussie Smollett right
away. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you remember, she was Speaker of the House at the time.
And what did she tweet out?
The racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity. No one should be attacked for who they are or whom they love. This is what he was looking for. I pray that Juicy.
I pray that Juicy.
It literally is Juicy in his article. Juicy has a speedy recovery and that justice is served. May we all commit to ending this hate once and for all. The moment I saw
as a black man, what did you make of this?
Nothing.
I mean, did you know right away? No, but I mean, did you know right away that this was
as soon as I saw the video, it was the noose around the neck for me. When I saw him walking still, you know,
in his apartment
with the noose on, I always hold judgment. I'm not one of those people that rushes to judgment. I want all of the facts. You know, Valana and I get into a lot of arguments on my show because I like to take my time. You know, get all the facts first before I make a decision. So, but that video was telling.
Oh, it was the body camera from the police video.
The hot sauce.
It was too much like the bleach. Like they're trying to make him white.
Yeah, no.
Bleach him white. All right. So
at 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. So Hannity had a live studio audience yesterday. That's why you're going to hear some clapping.
Not only have we gotten to know people that are like that, our parents are pretty conservative. Although they are Democrats, but in their thinking, they are conservative. And in turn, we are conservative in a way.
We have conservative views.
We have conservative views, more conservative views than liberal views anyway. Yeah. So,
hard R.
Okay, here it is.
I first want to apologize to everyone in the audience, the country, and anyone who might have been affected by this directly. When we were asked to partake in this, we really didn't foresee the ramifications of what something like this could do to the country.
You're sorry you participated in it.
Yeah. We allowed our ambition to cloud our judgment.
Were you getting paid?
It wasn't about the money.
Yeah. What was it about for you then?
The opportunity.
Opportunity to?
We were activists. So
Jussie, we are actors.
I can see that.
And Jussie, right.
I'm acting as a talk show.
You want to do a hoax?
I'm hoping one day. Maybe I'll get there.
So Jesse was in a position where he could help us, because in the acting world, it's who you know, not what you know. So us helping him out would have helped us out.
312-642-5600-00 is our phone number. Our text line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. So basically, I think they apologize to Trump supporters.
Yeah, I do think
and that if they did it again, they wouldn't put on red hat. Well, I don't even think the MAGA hats.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, I have one on.
You have one on now. You better not go to Streeterville.
I will go wherever I want, and I dare somebody to touch me. I've been in Chicago with this hat on.
Really?
I dare somebody to touch me.
And what do people
do
to you?
Nothing. Just looked at me.
Oh, like you were the devil?
Probably, but I don't ever run up on me.
Okay.
That's all I got to say. Don't ever run up on me. You don't want to face the consequences.
Good for you. John in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, there's this old story about a rabbi who somebody said something bad against him and asked for forgiveness because he got caught. He said, go up on the mountain with a bushel full of feathers. Release those feathers into the wind. Once you collect every single one of those feathers, I shall forgive you. In other words, they have to right every single wrong that was done. They need to go on The View. They need to go to Kamala Harris and have them recant what they said about it. And I know they did. All these people are doing are just face window dressing.
It's so true, because nobody, when the truth came out, I mean, and now the truth is really out.
Right.
Because it's the first time we're actually,
right.
They walk everything. Us through it, everything. Where's the take back from Nancy Pelosi and from Kamala Harris and from the Obamas and from Michelle
Tyler
Obama's,
Perry.
You know, First Lieutenant Chen.
Cory Booker, don't forget about him.
Oh, yeah, what did Cory Booker say?
He said the vicious attack on actor Jussie Smollett was an attempted modern-day lynching. I'm glad he's safe. To those in Congress who don't feel the urgency to pass our anti-lynching, see how they use political
anti-lynching legislation,
bill, right? Designating lynching as a federal hate crime, I urge you to pay attention. I'm going to on February 17th. I'm going to withhold comment until all the information. Now he wants to play that card. I want to withhold my comment until all information actually comes out from on the record sources. No comment since.
Yeah. We want an apology. Just admit you were wrong. Why can't Democrats do that? Just say, you know what? I was wrong, completely wrong about the Jussie Smollett case.
Yeah.
All right, because they're going to try to process it. I don't have a cough button. They're going to try to process it differently and say, well, he was attacked. I mean, he was.
Yeah, but he staged
attacked,
it.
But he staged it. They rehearsed it at their Lakeview apartment.
Yeah.
He gave them money to buy the bleach, the rope, and the hats. MAGA.
These people. Wait, he don't have hot sauce in his house. I thought he was black. What? He don't have hot sauce in his house.
No,
he ain't black.
They put bleach inside the hot
sauce.
I know. Yeah, it's really crazy. All right, Mike in Downers Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Good morning. My wife and I watched a Fox Nation thing last night. It was fabulous. I hadn't heard that a New York Post reporter found the hot sauce bottle that had the bleach in it before and gave it to the cops. Rafer Weigel was in it. He was trashed relentlessly for leaking what the cops for quoting what the cops gave him on it. Eddie Johnson was on it. He basically copped to, you know, what was going on the inside. And they actually did have a video that showed a red hat on one of them. You couldn't see the MAGA part, but he didn't want to set off riots and whatever, so he withheld that. And our man John Cass was on it with. And these guys, this is an apology. These guys basically, with humor and grace and complete honesty, they cop to it, right? What else can they do? And they're going on Fox for crying out loud. Not only do they do the Fox Nation thing, which is damning to all the naysayers and makes the liberals that don't retract anything, which is what Rafer, stated, look like goons. You know, they also go on Hannity for crying out loud.
Right.
And on Hannity, one of them has a Make America Great hat again, but it had an Africa logo instead of a. So in other words, it was the continent of Africa on his head and his red MAGA hat. So these guys have a sense of humor, and they know they screwed up, and they know they're tainted as a result. So
yeah, I don't think they're ever going to get acting careers.
Yeah, you never know.
Look at Jussie Smollett; he's not going to act again.
You never know.
I think these two will get acting careers before Jussie does.
I don't know.
Probably. He probably will. But you know what? the right is so much more forgiving than the left.
Oh, trust
me. And that's, I think
I
that's why they went that direction.
Why do you think I'm here?
Right, right. The right is so much more forgiving.
So much more forgiving.
Yeah, they screwed up. They got caught.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the review of the show on Fox Nation. I'm definitely going to check it out this weekend. Craig in Mount Greenwood. Hi, Craig. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Amy. And,
hey, buddy.
You and John together. You guys make a good team there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Yeah. Smelly,
Oh, Craig, you're breaking up, dear. So try to call back, and we'll try and
get wait, how about now?
There
now.
Is.
How about now?
Whoa.
Big difference.
I went outside the building. That building is messed up. Anyways, hey, this juicy, smelly guy, this is a perfect microcosm of just exactly what goes on with Trump haters in the, when they have that Trump derangement syndrome, because he was tweeting. Juicy was tweeting all that kinds of stuff against Trump. They were going kind of back and forth way ahead of this hoax thing. But then you see how, and you were just hitting the nail on the head, Amy, all these politicians, all these high-level people, I mean, they all circle the wagons around that story. Anything that is with somebody comes up with a lie against Trump, bam, everybody gets around. They support it. They build it up. Even when he gets caught and he's, you know, dead to wrong, they're all supporting him. They're all protecting him. And this is why you see whatever goes on in this media and with the politicians in there, they all have that Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. Trump doesn't have a chance no matter what, you know. This shows it, like, with this, the way that whole Jesse thing went.
Yep. Thanks, Craig.
You know, AOC.
What did AOC say? What?
There's no such thing as racially charged. This attack was not possibly homophobic. It was a racist and a homophobic attack. It is no one's job to water down or sugarcoat the rise of hate crimes. So definitive in her statement, right?
I know. So
no
holier
sense.
Than thou.
No comments.
Of course, no one's going to come out and say, oh, look, we were wrong. And that's why nobody in the mainstream media, ABC, NBC, did this story.
Right.
SCS and Dario Brothers, hey, sit down. Let's do that. It would have been a great 2020 piece or a Dateline piece, but... Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
Because that's messing with the Obamas. Yeah. That's messing with the Bidens. Yeah. That's messing with Hollywood producers and the black community. So,
did you see William Kelly tell Lori?
We'll talk about that later.
Speaking
of non sequiturs?
It just pulled up. It just
carpet,
pulled up.
Lamb.
No, wait, look. Squirrel.
Okay.
It just pulled up on the headline. That's why.
All right, Greg and Schomburg, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy and John, just a quick note to any crazy Democrats. You don't do stuff like this in Chicago in minus 21 degree zero weather.
Right.
You know,
and if he was smart actor, he would have written. Well, he would have written a better script. Yeah. You know, he would have not had the bleach so that they wanted me to be white. They're black men throwing bleach on me and hot sauce.
Right.
I mean, he just took it way too far.
He's an actor.
But I mean, you know, minus 21.
I know.
Does anybody understand how cold minus 21 is?
Yeah.
I know. And nobody was even out there. And then in the subway. Thanks, Greg.
Was that
for
the polar vortex? What did they call the polar vortex?
Yeah, no, it's called the polar. That wasn't, I don't think.
Yeah,
was,
I think it, anything. I think that,
that
was
wasn't
during
the polar
vortex.
But it was January 29th. Yeah. And, you know, nobody stays warm in Chicago in January.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560 mobile app on your Alexa-powered smart speaker and on TuneIn, iHeart, and on Odyssey. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago
where
you can turn. It's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning.
Wu-Tang.
Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey.
And last, or I think it was Tuesday's city council meeting got a little heated when William Kelly was able to speak during the public speaking comment of the day, and he gave Mayor Lightfoot a goodbye message.
Future historians are going to have a hard time understanding how you ever even became mayor of the city of Chicago. I intend to write that book. I intend to make sure that at least there is some possible way for the city of Chicago to move forward. I hope that you realize what damage you have done to the city. I hope that after today's city council meeting, you will pack your suitcase and get the hell out of my city.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mr. Kelly, Mr. You are a pandemic.
Ooh.
You are a pandemic. Thank you.
He went on to say, you know, you shut down small businesses, you shut down our schools, you shut down our churches.
Yeah.
And then she's yelling, but it was a pandemic. Yeah. So,
but she took his
she took his press pass.
Just like, you know, you've had to deal with that.
I think I work for a FCC licensed station. I don't really know where William Kelly is working. He's, you know, it. So how it works at City Hall is you have to go to the police department, get fingerprinted. They do a background check on you, but you have to work. You can't be a blogger.
He works for Newsmax.
You can't. It's very tricky how they decide who gets a press pass and who does not. So the fact that he had one.
Yeah. He works for Newsmax. Surprising.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
Full time? Part time?
He's been with Newsmax for quite some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. With more on this and other topics, let's welcome back to the program Alderman Raymond Lopez. Good morning, Alderman. How are you?
Top of the morning to all of you this great St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Well, I'm going to be at Gibson's with our future mayor, Paul Vallis, this morning. I'll be at the Village Inn in Canaryville celebrating with my residents later today. So it's a fun-filled day all around.
All right. So any new endorsements for Paul Vallis today that you can give us a little sneak peek on?
You know, he's had a great week when it comes to garnering the endorsements. He's gotten, you know, well, I think about a dozen of the aldermen and some other elected officials. I don't know if there are any Irish surprises today. I know that it's great to see at least one candidate trying to go beyond their base and bring in as many people into the fold as possible. You know, all we continue to see out of Brendan Johnson is teachers, more teachers and teachers groups and teacher affiliates endorsing him, whereas Paul Vallis has gotten the police, the fire, and all of the aldermen from the southwest, northwest, southwest, downtown, and everywhere else in between coming on board for him. So
that's great. And then, so did you watch last night's debate by any chance? I mean, there's so many, and I don't know how many more there are going to be before this runoff election. But basically, you know, it was about Brendan Johnson wanting to house everybody.
The fact that we are debating whether or not housing is a human right, it tells you why we cannot rely upon the vestiges of the past.
So is housing a human right, Alderman Lopez?
Everything's a human right with this group, as long as somebody else is paying.
Right.
We see this time and time again, where as long as it's other people's money, we should be providing everything for everyone at every point in their life. And I don't know when we became a society of enablers, a society that has no will to work, to earn a living, and to excel in life. We absolutely should help individuals when they are at a low point, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you turn your back on those who are housing providers, that you demonize landlords as just being capitalistic pigs trying to take advantage of a human need. That's outrageous, and that's the kind of mindless pandering that has been the hallmark of Brendan Johnson's campaign. Whether it's housing, whether it's water, and especially when it comes to race relations in the city of Chicago.
Right. Alderman Lopez, you know, I made a comment earlier about how when the Chicago superintendent is confirmed and appointed, that they kind of lose a lot of their autonomy because, especially from the mayor, because the mayor pretty much dictates how the vision is going to go with policing. And I don't think people really understand with this new superintendent that's going to be picked. I believe you guys got 30 days to do it. How important it is to understand for the voters of Chicago of Vallis picking this new superintendent and you guys confirming it, or Brendan Johnson picking this new woke superintendent who will, I believe, will double down on everything that Lori Lightfoot intended to do to the policing department. How important is it for the voters to understand that choice in picking the new superintendent?
We have seen the damage a bad superintendent can inflict upon our city when coupled with a delusional mayor. We've seen that act already play out in Chicago, and it gave us all of the increased crime stats that we've seen over the last 4 years. Understanding, yes, we have been in a pandemic, as Lori Lightfoot likes to point out every single time she speaks, but there were also things that we could have done ourselves.
Right.
You know, we have changed the pursuit policies, both on foot and in car. We've willingly accepted the higher threshold for felonies from $1,000 to $10,000. And the list goes on and on. And that's even before we get to the deployments in our communities, where we've allowed the superintendent to create a citywide team to protect the bean while depriving neighborhoods of their beat officers on a daily basis, sometimes as much as 50% reductions in districts all across the city. What we have to remember, though, is that Brendan Johnson recently stood with 36 newly elected police district council members.
Oh, yeah.
36 who are going to be responsible for coming together to pick the group that picks the finalists for superintendent.
Ugh.
36 of those individuals, 32 out of 66 are avowed police defunders.
Wow.
In certain cases, they are avowed police abolitionists.
Yeah. Okay, this police council, I really studied the candidates that were running in my district. I'm the 19th district. What mm-hmm. Can the new mayor abolish that? Because it is just absolutely stupid that we're having people who know nothing, who've never been to a crime scene, know nothing about the crime stats, are going to be in that kind of a position of power.
You know, the point of these positions and the point of this commission was to give the community an opportunity to participate and to make sure that they had a direct connection, a direct link with the police department and the community. But what we have seen is it's already been turned over to the agenda-driven narrative politics that has failed us in so many other areas. Additionally, even though we were trying to give an opportunity for the community, nearly one third of the positions were vacant because people were not interested in participating.
Right.
So I don't know how much of a success we're going to call this experiment, but I would be quick to remind anyone in that position and anyone who supported this position, coming from someone who voted to make it happen, that if this experiment fails, this is just a change in the law to eliminate this whole setup once again.
Mm.
So they better not overplay their hand thinking that they've become something that they're not without thinking that there will be ramifications in the future.
All right. So Illinois is broke. Cook County is broke. Chicago is broke. Yet Alderman Gilbert Villegas has a new proposal that, you know, maybe our days of shoveling sidewalks may end in Chicago.
Yes. I this is one that truly perplexes me. And I know Gil's heart is in the right place. But I don't know why able-bodied people can't shovel their own damn sidewalks.
You're right.
I love it.
I mean, it's not as if we have suburban driveways where you have to, you know, we have unattached garages.
Yeah.
But still, we don't have to, don't plow the alley. That's the only thing you have to shovel, snow off your steps and in front of your sidewalk. Right. And if you're nice, you do your neighbors.
Right.
So, Amy and John, let me explain how clearing a street takes so long. We hear constant complaints all the time in neighborhoods. You have two different programs. You have the main streets and you have residential, which means you don't, for streets and sanitation, we don't clear the inner streets, the residential streets, until it stops snowing. And as we are confident that the main streets, the big streets, are 100% clear. That's probably going to impact our ability to get to the sidewalks as well.
Right.
Now, if we have to dispatch 700, 1,000 people across the city of Chicago to go shovel people's snow because Gen Zers are too lazy to grab a shovel.
Oh, trust me.
I don't know.
Yes, it's true.
The snow will have melted by the time we get to that point.
But cost $750,000.
No, I mean, that's maybe for like one ward.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That would not cover the entire city. Because don't forget, you're talking about going block to block in wards where you have, I have 290 blocks in my ward.
Jeez.
Yeah. Even if
you're
going to
shovel it
24
yourself,
right? Hours straight. Well, you know what, Amy? I do shovel.
I know. And, I do too.
I think that's where the problem lies, is that we have to focus maybe on shoveling out our seniors or people with disabilities or special needs.
I help
needs.
Out. Yep.
100% agree. Maybe the city should look at doing something for that.
Yeah, but
got it.
You know, I grew up.
But to do someone for because they don't want to go outside and shovel the 25 feet in front of their house, give me a break.
I grew up in Chicago. I was a hustler. You know how I made a lot of money during the winter?
Yeah, because he stole campaign
stuff. I did.
He did. He grew up at 87th and Halsted?
Yeah, 21st Ward. Yeah. But I was also in the 6th Ward, 8th Ward. I was all in those wards too. But I made, you know how much money I made as a kid shoveling snow? Does that take away that kid who's out there trying to hustle, get money, and not where this kid isn't out robbing or beating up somebody? I mean, I believe that takes away from that aspect as well, correct, Alderman?
Well, John, I can't remember the last time I actually seen a kid knock on my door asking if they could shovel for me.
I still have it out in
my neighborhood. I think we have pushed, especially in certain areas, where this narrative of it's not my fault, give me everything, has taken hold. You know, we've seen where that will to be a young entrepreneur, that desire to make some money and hustle, as you say, is just not existent anymore.
Mm. Wow. Well, whenever I have a kid come to my house to shovel, I go do this. Yeah. I'll give you $10 for the back. So, all right. Well, Alderman Lopez, thank you so much for coming on, especially last minute there. We really appreciate it. I always love your insight. And were you there, by the way, in City Council when William Kelly said that those words to Mayor Lightfoot?
I did, actually. It was quite interesting. And I think that the way that the city handles out those press passes, I know you were talking about it before I got on.
It's got to
change.
Yeah.
CPD has no reason to run the background check on reporters. And additionally, media has changed.
Are you kidding?
Right, exactly.
Media anymore.
No, I told you. They fingerprint you. They talk to you. They take your picture.
What happened to the free press?
Oh, there's no free press. Oh. Were you just waking up to that, John?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you're
are
right.
Are you new here?
No, you're right. Media has changed where there are bloggers that get more hits and more attention than local news now. So. Maybe the new mayor will work on that.
I think there was quite an interesting meeting when it came, but not only to Mr. Kelly, the discussion about the asylum seekers and $20 million after the fact to pay for what Lori Lightfoot was doing with them, as well as a lot of procedural stuff with the outgoing council members trying to maintain their grip on their patronage power by creating 28 new committees in city council. Thinking that they're like Oprah Winfrey, you get a chairmanship, you get a championship,
you get
all paid for by the taxpayers using the vacancies in departments like the police department, just so that they could get an extra $5 million behind them.
Wow. All right. Well, always a pleasure having you on the show. Enjoy your time this morning at Gibson's with Paul Vallis
and run for mayor one day.
Yeah. Will again. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. I can tell you that. Alderman Lopez, thank you so much. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You've made the switch and it feels so good. You've switched to Chicago's morning answer on AM 560. This is Chicago's morning answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The answer.
Good Friday morning and happy St. Patrick's Day to all you Irish out there. Top of the morning to you. Nice. That was really good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony.
Hey.
In for Dan Proft.
I'm part Irish too.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, my dad.
You know what I found out too when I did Ancestry.com? Uh-huh. I'm 3% Irish.
Oh.
Who knew? Look at the Irish. So did you see the video of the Russian fighter jet taking down our $32 million drone? Will we go to war? Won't we?
As far as an active war goes, I'm not gonna go there. Incidents happen, and clearly we do not seek armed conflict with Russia. It probably broke up. There's probably not a lot to recover, frankly. As far as the loss of anything of sensitive intelligence, etc., as normal, we would take and we did take mitigating measures. So we are quite confident that whatever was of value is no longer of value.
General Milley. Just so you know, parts that broke off into the Black Sea, the Russians have already confiscated.
Really?
Lindsey Graham says, let's go.
President Biden
You're the Rodney Dangerfield of world leaders. Nobody respects you. And if you don't change your game and up your game, we're going to have World War III.
With more on this, let's welcome back to the program our very good friend, watched him last night too, Brett Baer, host of Fox News Special Report, and the number one best-selling author of To Rescue the Republic, Ulysses S. Grant, The Fragile Union, and The Crisis of 1876. Good morning, Brett Baer. How are you?
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. So real quick, before we get to the news of the day, how are your basketball brackets looking?
Heinous.
I know.
I mean, just totally horrible. I had Arizona going long. I had Virginia going a couple. It was upset city. So I got to regroup.
Right. Can start over. Can we start over again? No, I don't think so. But do you know that only, considering the millions, tens of millions of people who fill out brackets, whether you know it's with friends or in office pools, only 787 people are still left. That's almost unheard of. That's never happened before.
Not you and
because
Brent.
Of Arizona. I had Iowa and Arizona in the championship because I went to Iowa.
Well, President Biden had Arizona winning, so you're in good company.
That's the only thing he and I have in common. All right, so speaking of President Biden, what should we do with the drone going down, the Russians taking it down?
Listen, it's a big, provocative, aggressive action. I mean, if you look at that video, it's not like it was an accident. They were coming after it to dump oil, fuel on it. They were coming to harass it and maybe take pictures of it. And then apparently they clip the one propeller and the thing loses control and goes down into the Black Sea. I'm not sure the Russians were able to recover much. That's pretty deep there, and I think they have ways in which they explode the sensitive stuff. The military does. But the bottom line is that there was not really any firm statement from the administration or the president. And, you know, I understand not wanting to get in World War III, and I understand not wanting to get an armed conflict, but you also can't be bullied in international airspace. And I think that that's where the criticism is coming from. Now, not everybody is Lindsey Graham, who wants to shoot everything down over Ukraine. But there's a fine line between that to be a little bit more firm.
Oh, okay. Brett, what do you make of the meeting with Xi and Putin upcoming? And you think it's because the world sees weakness with Biden taking a back seat to pretty much every world event?
Yeah, I do. I do think that criticism is legitimate, and I think that the Chinese see an opportunity to step into the void, to step into the vacuum. You look at the negotiation they just did with Saudi Arabia and Iran. Well, that's usually someplace that the U.S. would be. We don't have relations with Iran, but being the world negotiator to get people together and countries together is usually our job. That's what China is doing now. And listen, if Xi Jinping can get Russia and Ukraine to come together to the table and end this thing, that would be exponentially better than where we are now.
And do you have reporters there covering this today?
In Kyiv or in Moscow?
Both.
No, yeah, we have reporters in Kyiv. We got kicked out of Moscow, so we have to rely on wire services.
All right, so I watched your show last night, and somebody on your panel, you were talking about Janet Yellen, you know, assuring the Senate Finance Committee that it remains sound and not to worry, but people in East Palestine, Ohio, will be paying for higher bank fees because of this debacle at the Silicon Valley Bank and at Signature Bank of New York.
It's really amazing if you think about it. You know, the administration keeps saying that taxpayers won't foot the bill, but in reality, they are. Because if you bank at any size bank that's not Bank of America or J.P. Morgan or one of the big guys, you or Wells Fargo, you are in potential threat. They say the banks are stable, but they're not backing up those deposits like they did with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And that was the point yesterday, is that to pay for those bailouts, they're putting fees on banks like community banks in Illinois. And so those fees eventually get passed down to customers. And I think that there's this disconnect that somehow it was just handled But eventually somebody's paying for it.
Yeah. And you know, I've been watching a lot about this Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and now Biden's daughter, Haley, his
daughter-in-law,
Haley, has been introduced as another part of this, who got money from a deal with China. What's happening?
What did they do to get $3 million?
Exactly.
I mean, what?
But what's happening with this Hunter Biden? And do you think everything that's happened with Hunter Biden, his laptop, do you think this diminishes Joe Biden's chances of running for re-election?
Well, Democrats don't see it that way. They see this as a witch hunt, as crazy as that sounds, after all the years of making fun of President Trump using that word. I think that there is more there. You know, these are the bank records. This is real hard evidence. These payments are made weeks after Joe Biden leaves the vice presidency to his family members. And they say that it is seed money for future investments. Well,
what does that mean?
Pretty amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that Joe Biden's daughter-in-law, who, as you know, was the widow of Bo Biden and then the girlfriend of Hunter Biden soon after Bo died, she is a school teacher. What was she getting seed money from Chinese for? So I think that there's a lot more there. Democrats don't want to say it, and there's a lot of pushback. But this may not end well in the big picture. I don't think it's going to affect his initial reelection plans, but I don't know.
But does anybody have a clue? I mean, Peter Schweitzer was on Fox yesterday, too. Why are the Chinese paying the Bidens millions of dollars for what work? Did they do any? I mean, this, it just looks like a huge payoff and some form of payback.
You know, it looks like the latter, influence, access. You know, it said it was the Hunter Biden lawyers said it was a legitimate energy company. Well, yeah, it's a legitimate energy company that has direct ties to the communist leadership. So there's more to look at, and I think following the money is where Chairman Comer and the Republicans are right now.
All right, so who's on the show tonight? What do you have for us? Or are you on your way into the office to plan for your show?
I am driving my son to school, and then I am getting ready to go into the office to start the day. We have Vivek Ramaswamy, the newest Republican presidential candidate, who's really articulate on this bank bailout situation. But it'll be interesting to talk to him on a number of fronts. And, you know, we're going to have a dig down on the battle developing between the former president and Governor DeSantis. New poll out today shows former President Trump up 3 on DeSantis in Florida, which is really interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, this he's filed a complaint, an ethics complaint against DeSantis, President Trump, or former President Trump did. I mean, I don't want to get into it. I mean, I don't know if you have the details on it, but it is, I think he's pushing the wrong buttons here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really going after, and he won't let up. I do think that it turns off some part of the Republican Party to see mom and dad fighting.
Yes, nobody likes that. All right, Brett Baer, how's your son doing, by the way?
Doing great. He's in the car. You can say hi.
What's up? Oh my God.
I love it.
Oh my God, you're a teenager now. You grew up so quickly.
Sheesh.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Yeah.
Is he playing any sports?
He's got basketball and golf.
Good. Perfect.
He's 6'3".
I know. That's great. Wow. Well, God bless you, and I'm so glad you're doing well and growing like a weed, it sounds like. Brett Baer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And hopefully his grandparents here in the Chicago suburbs heard him say hi.
Exactly.
What's up?
All right. Yeah.
What's
we'll
up?
See you guys.
Total teenager.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up? I love it. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. And Brett Baer joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
There's some dude who visited Schaumburg. You know, last weekend was the big St. Patrick's Day celebration, not this weekend, although people are probably drinking right now, which, oh, wait, they are. And he was in the Schaumburg area. His name's Lucas Duffy, traveling for work. Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Sure. And went for a night out in Schaumburg before his flight the next morning. But the night ended with a cloudy memory at a mystery that has perplexed hundreds. Somehow, Duffy lost a single shoe.
Ah, sound like tequila.
Sounds like, you know, I mean, people drink themselves to death or they're so drunk that they accidentally kill themselves by falling down or falling in front of a car Chicago River or anything. So this is what happens. This is what he remembers. I don't know. Are you supposed to feel sorry for this guy? Here he is.
I think because I was all bruised up on my legs and my arms were all cut up and stuff. I remember going into a pit and then I glanced down at my feet and we're walking on concrete and I don't have a right shoe. And then I wake up. So,
oh, my God.
I don't know.
That was like a wild night. What kind of shoes were they?
They were On Cloud is the brand. The Cloud Monsters.
Oh, that's an expensive shoe.
The style of them. Excellent running shoe. Highly recommend. The company actually reached out to me on Instagram. Yeah, they just out of the blue, they're like, hey, we know we can't help you find your shoe because they're in Switzerland. It's a Swiss brand. So they're like, we know we can't help you find your shoe, but we got something you might like. So they gave me a gift card code for one item, but anything that's $300 or less. Wow. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So stop having Schaumburg people go out and look for your shoe near a highway where you were so drunk you fell in and you hurt yourself.
Hey, Michael Jordan, I lost my shoe.
All right, so this is why, again, because he put it on Instagram, yeah. You know, hey, I was just in Schaumburg at the Doubletree near O'Hare, and I lost my shoe. Anybody who finds it, please let me know. I'll pay for any shipping that would be required. Any help would be greatly appreciated. And, of course, hundreds of people came to help out and supported him, and that's why he got free shoes.
I just was like, you know, I'm going to put myself out there and ask this community if they don't mind looking for my shoe. And they don't mind.
Hey, Michael Jordan, I need a pair of shoes. I lost my one shoe. I love Jordan. So
lost a shoe?
Yeah.
When the man, young man, millennial, go to the airport with one shoe? No, I'm sure he had another pair, but
of course.
Just drink responsibly.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Good intentions, bad decision. There's more fallout for our July 1st and 2nd NASCAR race through the downtown area. The Shutt Aquarium came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? They could lose up to $3 million during the NASCAR street race because they're going to have to spend weeks before the event and then days after, even a few weeks, to break everything down. Because their cars can't drive on our pavement, so they're going to change the pavement. And that stops people from going to the museum campus and go, because you can't park your car there, so you have to park somewhere else and then try to get through. So, Mayor Lightfoot did not think through this one, and she's not even going to be mayor anymore when the time of the event. With more on this and the hopes for the new mayor being Paul Vallis, let's welcome back to the program former alderman Bob Fioretti, two-term as the Chicago 2nd Ward alderman and 2nd Ward Democratic committeeman from 2008 to 2016. Good morning, Mr. Fioretti.
Hey, good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, so what, this NASCAR, she didn't even get approval from the city council, right? This is just another dictator move.
She was signing documents and bringing it on. Absolutely another ridiculous idea that's fostered upon the people of the city and especially the downtown residents. You know, there was no thinking behind it at this stage. And it's disrupting. I had to deal with the original times of Lollapalooza coming in and a lot of the festivals that we put into Grant Park. And dealing with the residents was a difficult situation. But this type of, I'm hearing just an outcry from every person north, south, and west of the area of Millennium Park, Grant Park. They are just 100% opposed to this idea. So no thinking went behind it, just the glory for the mayor. And again, it's If there was a way to undo it at this stage, I would hope the new administration takes a look at it and undoes that right now.
What kind of revenue? I mean, is this a big money fall for us to have NASCAR come here to do a race?
Well, we will probably, I don't know how many hundreds of, how many thousands, because I'm not sure it's going to be hundreds of thousands will come in here. It does help the hotel industry, but the boost in the economy won't be that much here.
Yeah.
Because it's going to deprive a lot of our own citizens from even getting into work during those weeks.
I mean, are they going to have a bridge over? Because they're not going to let us cross the streets because they're going to be reconstructing them, right?
I remember when we had the NFL draft here. It really impacted on what we did. And, again, that was an idea that was pushed by Rahm, and he wanted it. But, granted, it brought some recognition to Chicago, but the fallout for it was not enough to help revive the economic opportunities that we lost here.
All right, before we talk about hopefully the future mayor, what did our current mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, what was her biggest mistake or mistakes why she didn't win the reelection?
She didn't want to talk to people. She was insulting. Let's think about, she on one hand, she would reach out to President Trump, and on the other hand, she'd give him the FU. Her attitude towards people was not something to build bridges for everybody.
Yeah, and don't forget she was the biggest, in town when she was dealing with the Italian-American community because they just want their Columbus statue back. And she said, I'll give it to you back, but I why are you laughing, John Anthony? But she said she's the biggest schlong in town, but she didn't say the schlong word.
The fake. The fake.
I mean, I just...
She said something, and we all know what it was. So,
right. But, I mean, that's no lady, huh? I mean, that's...
Well,
guy talks. She's trying to be too tough.
She had an attitude that she came into that she had to fight everybody, and yes... she was trying to do some reform items, but she sitting down and talking to people would have been a lot better than the day that she was inaugurated, and I was in the Wintrust Stadium at the time, and then she turned around and basically insulted all 50 of the aldermen. And how does she come across and try to heal that? By creating more committees, and creating a bigger government, allowing more aldermen to become chairs of more committees, instead of getting down to the work that's needed to help our citizens, crafting a good budget, dealing with the crime issues, and dealing with the education here in this city.
And Brandon Johnson will only make it 100 times worse.
And, I had heard a statement shortly after she was elected, probably, she was sworn in May, and I think it was September, October, that she was on, the West Side. And she said, I couldn't believe it was this bad. I mean, where was she during the campaign?
All right. So why are you supporting Paul Vallis?
I think Paul has a vision for the city. A vision on how to deal with crime, which he has come from and has talked to so many police officers and so many victims of crime here in this city. How to deal with education. When he was head of the CPS, he knew what to do, helped elevate the scores, had a manageable budget, and made sure that families were inclusive in decisions in the schools. And then how to deal with the budget itself. Once we deal with the crime problem, let's say it is resolved miraculously on day one. But day two, the economic issues that we are facing in the city are going to be are very troublesome. We're running out of COVID money. 18 months to 2 years, we're out of COVID money. I think Paul knows how to craft budgets. I've seen him do it in the past. I've known Paul. We talk often, I have confidence in the type of budget that he will manage for all of the city. Our budgets are really a moral document for everybody to make sure that we deal with the problems that are facing citizens, that we make sure our taxes are low, that we're inclusive, that we attract economic opportunities, we attract businesses. Paul is the kind of leader that can do that.
And how, Well, John has a question.
No, but do you think which candidate for mayor, Vallis or Brandon, would be able to bring back that business sector back to State Street, even Michigan Avenue?
I mean, it's what happened to our city. We look like Detroit.
Exactly.
I don't know if a lot of your listeners look. I have an office right next to the Sears Tower. I walk down Wells Street. It's a vacancy upon vacancy. State Street from Alcoholic Congress, the Ida B. Wells, all the way to Lake. Again, another one that's vacancy after. We can talk about the Mag Mile, but Paul is going to encourage businesses to come back in. You do it by good policing, making sure we have safe streets and strong communities. And Paul is the type of leader that can do that. Brandon, on the other hand, has a vision that, well, let's keep right on taxing people. Brandon Smooth, he's been around the block a bit. He's an organizer, as we all know, for CTU unions. But, he doesn't want to he'll tax the hotels. I can't remember what the numbers are on his taxing program.
Right,
it's massive.
The hotel tax. Uh-huh.
Both hotel and motels. He wants to bring back the head tax. These are kind of items that, will destroy the city at this point.
Yeah, it'll kill businesses. Why would you open a store in Chicago if you have to pay an extra tax for a head tax for every employee who works at your place? That's not going to attract anybody to State Street or to Michigan Avenue.
And let alone look what's happening at 26th Street right now. They're trying to push out all the small businesses there. After Michigan Ave, 26th Street becomes one of the economic engines for this city, and we need to help promote that. Across the board, I've gone from one end of the city to the other, and I see the destructive effects of high taxation on small businesses as they leave this city, they either move to the suburbs or they're moving to Indiana just to make a living for their families and friends.
Hey, Bob, one of the things the left is so masterful at is defining terms, giving it weight, and then attacking their opponent. I saw that Paul Vallis got attacked for liking racist tweets. I looked at the tweets. One of them was talking about Lightfoot calling her Larry. The other one was talking about stop and frisk.
Yeah, but that was somebody on his campaign who had access to his Twitter who
but
liked that.
Even if Paul himself liked it, they're not racist tweets. What should Paul do to get beyond that? Because you see the ad right now. It's been playing. I think I've seen it like 6 or 7 times.
I know,
ad right there. What should Paul do to get beyond that tweet?
Well, I'm going to tell you, one person who I've known for a number of years and I've worked with and I lived in his district when I lived down in Pullman was former Senate President Emo Jones Jr., who just endorsed him.
Yeah.
Emo Jones would not endorse anybody that has even a small smidgen of racist bone in their body. We've had almost, I think, 20 aldermen now that have endorsed him from anywhere from Emma Mitz on the far west side to Michelle Harris, Anthony Beal. Come on. Anybody that believes that's nonsense, and I hope they view it as nonsense, will say, wait a minute, that's not Paul Vallis. You know it. Responding rapidly against it.
Yeah, I've known Paul for a very long time. Never have I ever seen any racist bone in this guy's body. No. Ever. Ever. So that's
and
that's
he will
a complete
unite
lie.
Chicago.
Yes.
I mean, I think that he would reach out to the progressives. Yeah. He'd reach out to Republicans. Yeah. He'd, try and unite us.
I hate that.
Yeah, the one thing that you have to talk about when you look at it is we need safe streets and strong communities. I don't think Brandon Johnson can do that. Paul has the leadership ability to do that. He's been in and out of the trenches often, doing the things that are right for our citizens, our students, our the parents here. I'm glad that the FOP and the firefighters unions have both endorsed him. It shows strong support of a community that wants safe streets and strong communities, and that's what I believe Paul will bring back.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Bob Fioretti, former alderman and Democratic committeeman, thank you so much for joining us, and happy St.
Patrick's
Day.
Make sure we get out and vote.
That's key. And that is key. The runoff is during spring break. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm voting early for the first time in my life.
All right, we'll do it, and we'll see you then.
All right. Thank you, and convince others to get out and vote. But Bob Fioretti joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. John O. Anthony here. Amy O. Jacobson, top of the morning
actually,
to you.
My last name would be York. My father's name is Robert Joseph.
Wait,
York.
Speak up, Sonny. I can't hear you.
My what? Father's name is York.
Okay.
So York, I would be Robert
so
Joseph.
You are Irish. Do you know how much Irish you
are? I think it's 24%.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm 53% European, 47% African.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're half black. What do you call yourself?
Blackish.
Blackish. All right. So Vice President Kamala Harris is trying to reintroduce herself again, trying to, you know, start the clock again, make people love her. And you remember the show Veep? You know about the show Veep? Have you ever seen the show Veep?
No.
I watched one episode, and, you know, this will recap what it's about. It's about a vice president, by the way, just in case you don't know.
The past was once the future. The future is, I should say, unknown. It is, in fact, unknowable.
This country. She's Bebop speaking.
We do have real cars
on my street.
I'm not sure what a fake car would be.
Bam!
Sadly, I should be president or something.
I'm about to become president. America.
Try to serve the people, and then they just f*** you over.
Yep.
And you know why? Because they're ignorant, and they're dumb as And that, ladies and gentlemen, is democracy.
So those are some clips from Veep. And it's Julia Louise Dreyfus plays, obviously, the vice president. But she's a flighty, not so intelligent woman who is hoping to be the next president of the United States in her role as vice president. And Kamala Harris watches that show and admitted on national TV that she likes that show.
Oh.
I mean, Veep, this could be Kamala Harris. Yeah. She could be playing
Sounds like her.
I know you love Veep.
I do. I love Veep. Is it accurate?
There are bits of it that are actually quite accurate. And a member of my team decided to do something really sweet for me. So I was out of my office in the West Wing. I was having a meeting across the street, and we're walking back toward my office, and he says, I need to tell you something. So I decided when you were in that meeting to light the fireplace. But he forgot to open the flue. Service is like, ma'am, you could not go back to your office.
Holy cow.
I mean, this is horrible. And this is not even the worst part about it. What is your role as vice president? Oh, boy. Oh, I mean, you better sit down for this one.
What is the actual role on a daily basis as you have found it?
Well, I have the great privilege of serving with Joe Biden, who was president of the United States. And was vice president, right?
Does that affect it? Does he understand what it's like to be a vice president?
He does. And he really is a true partner. He's an extraordinary leader.
I would have loved to see the video.
That's an excellent answer. And the question was, what is the job of the vice president?
And she just cackled.
I would love to see the video of that, to see her facial expression.
What?
To see what he's an excellent leader.
Oh, and there, I mean, how do they believe these lies? It's all beautiful lies that they make up. Whose life is better?
Well,
now
she's
that
been
Biden...
living those lies. Remember, how she was introduced to the world? First Indian attorney general of California. Okay. She wasn't introduced as the first black attorney general of California. It was
oh,
Indian.
She wasn't?
No, it was first Indian attorney general. Yeah.
So this her image campaign again, it rolled on. Which one should I play you now? This is all a train wreck. 312-642-5600. Turnkey Top Pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. How would you answer this question? Okay. What is great about America?
Okay.
And let me just ask you.
Oh, you.
Yeah. I mean, just. Well,
it's people.
Okay. And why?
Because you want to change America. The way to do it is to articulate a message that resonates with people. And that's why I don't give up on Illinois, because I really believe we just haven't had somebody who can articulate a message of why Illinois is great. And the moment we get a standard bearer that can do that, Illinois is going to change. I believe that with every fiber in me.
Kamala Harris, now it's your turn.
What is it that is, to coin a phrase, great about America and that kindles your love for it?
There's so much. There's so much. And you're right. And I have the blessing and privilege of traveling all over our country. I meet people who are just the people who are the ones who are the most optimistic about what is possible. I look at who we are. We believe in freedom and liberty as Americans. And we fight for it.
Do you think we had any freedom and liberty during COVID?
No.
No. But we don't have freedom and liberty now, because if you have a differing opinion than what the Democrats have, they try to cancel you. Yeah. They try to get you fired from your job. Yeah. They don't stop. They're animals. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them, there are some nice Democrats. Yes, I'm friends with some. But the other ones, you got to watch yourself.
Yeah.
You better check yourself. You know what I mean?
Or wreck yourself.
Or wreck yourself. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line. This woman is one heartbeat away from the presidency.
Yes.
And if we vote Joe Biden into office again, if people do, that's some scary stuff, because he's going to be, what, 84?
80-something.
Oh.
Yeah.
So are they going to run again? Is this dynamic duo going to continue?
Let's assume for a moment that President Biden is going to run again. What do you imagine this next election is going to be about? What are going to be the major issues that will define this election?
I think it will be, as the president has said, about seeing it through and building on the momentum that we have achieved thus far. I mean, think about it. In only the last 2 years, we have, by my estimate, with the bills and the legislation that we have passed, we are putting up to $1 trillion on the streets of America on the issue of the climate crisis, around investment in resilience and adaptation. What we are doing, I know there are a lot of students here, and what we are doing in terms of understanding the importance of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but also this very exciting moment in the world around a new economy we are building, a clean energy economy. And what that means, not only in terms of the jobs we are creating, including American-based manufacturing, but what we rightly are doing to prioritize the importance of clean air and clean water.
Yes. That's the most important thing you can come up with?
Yeah. Electric buses, don't you know?
We are investing in the manufacturing of electric buses, electric school buses.
Uh-huh.
We
for
are
the
partnering
children.
With
the
apprenticeship
kids.
Programs, IBEW and others, who are training our workforce to do...
Yeah, okay. But she did. He did ask her, you know, are you worried about Ron DeSantis?
Yeah.
Because maybe Joe Biden doesn't run. She still has to run for president. And are you worried about DeSantis? This is her answer.
As vice president, I have now met with over 100 world leaders.
Wow.
Presidents, prime ministers, chancellors,
and there you go.
Kings.
There you go.
And when you have had the experience of meeting and understanding the significance, again, of international rules and norms and the...
I've had enough of that. I feel like I'm getting sick again.
Isn't this the same woman who got no votes for president?
So this woman dropped out of the primary because she was not even... I think she's hashtags or one...
Negative
1.9%. I mean, wasn't even getting 1%. So she dropped out before the Iowa caucuses last time she ran. Because she's not likable.
Right.
She's not smart.
Right.
And she was there because she's black woman, Indian, Jamaican, whatever you want to.
Yeah. And she played the role of beating up Joe Biden in the primaries. So.
Yeah. I mean, one of the debates.
Beat him bad.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't know. But then he turned around and gave her the VP.
But Tulsi Gabbard beat her up.
Yeah, that's true. All right. 312-642-5600 to the phone lines we go. Tom in Blue Island, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
John, my brother.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, if Amy will allow it on Chicago Democrat Hack AM 560 radio.
Oh, my, Tom.
I got a little Trump list for you. Anyway, I don't know if Bob Fioretti's still listening, but hey, Bob, this is that 6'4 guy that heckled you at the Darren Bailey rally at Bourbon Street that you decided to come face-to-face with and thought twice when you saw I was twice your size.
All right, Tom, it sounds like you have some anger issues. Anything else you want to say?
Angry, just busting chops.
I love Tom.
Yeah,
I love that.
Oh, are you ready, John?
He calls in and busts me up all the time.
John, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. You know what, John, they call you guys like you and me fools because we're Trump supporters. Trump's unelectable, but that Kamala Harris is. Let me shoot this quick list at you.
Okay.
Russia takes down American drones.
Yep.
China flies balloons over the heartland of America.
Yep.
Illegals from South America, not Mexico, flood over our southern border. Our government sends hundreds of billions to Ukraine and questions the patriotism of us guys that dare ask where that money goes. You're an election denier if you think it's BS that Joe Biden got 15 more million more votes than Barack Obama did, and 25 million more Americans voted in 2020 than did in 2016. And lastly, you're a domestic terrorist if you believe an insurrection has to be armed, and you don't want school bureaucrat weirdos teaching your kids how to prep their butts for sex and eat poo. Have a weekend, man.
Tom always.
Well, it's true.
Tom and the Amish texter. They always.
It was in one of those books in Barrington about eating poop.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding? What is wrong with people?
And remember,
speaking of what's wrong with people, Kamala Harris's Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman. Oh, my God. What was his remark?
Basically, he was talking about the school board members and hate and anti-Semitism. And it's funny how they can always use something towards Hitler or Nazism. Yeah. But when anybody on the right tries to talk about it, we get shunned. But they can use it anytime they want as a weapon against us.
Here he is. He's a Jewish man.
I met one woman who was saved in the Holocaust in Germany, settled in Ukraine, and is now a refugee again back in Berlin, where she originally left as a Jew in the Holocaust. So you can't. These are the stories that are happening out there. And so this stuff is so important. This hate is interconnected. You see it in the discourse in the country right now. You see it in the divide that we have, and that just going to the school meeting. You see that hate
school
that
meetings.
Is out there.
School
we've
meetings.
Got to step up.
Thank you, parent. We're
and
called
speak
parents,
out, and we've got to call out the cowards out there.
You know, he should just stop.
He's the coward.
He should just stick to working on toxic masculinity and solving that problem.
And kissing Joe Biden.
That doesn't exist either. All right,
and kissing Joe Biden.
Hey, John in Mundelein, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Amy. It's always fun to hear people who support Donald Trump pretend to care about lying. But maybe, I know it's safer to pretend, you know,
go Trump.
About whether or not Kamala Harris is black enough. But we now know, of course, that everyone at Fox News knew behind the scenes that Trump and his lawyers were always lying about the election being stolen. Your colleague at Salem, Jenna Ellis, is now admitted in court. That she lied about 500,000 fraudulent votes in Arizona. We know now that there's two recordings of Trump trying to threaten election officials in Georgia 2 months after the election. Why don't you talk about those lies? Do you care about those lies, or
well,
is just
John,
Kamala Harris's skin color the issue?
We don't. What? Okay, first of all, I can't take you seriously. We're not talking about Kamala Harris's skin color. I am working with John Anthony, who is black. A black man.
Apparently, you're not listening.
I can talk about whatever I want to talk about, John. Listen. You listen. You don't call in and get to dictate what we talk about. I will talk about whatever the heck I want to talk about. Kamala Harris is a fraud. She used her blackness to become who she is today, and she's not black.
Okay, but do you think that Donald Trump is a fraud? Everyone
I don't.
Knew he was he lying. Everyone at Fox knew he was lying. Rupert Murdoch admitted under oath that Trump was lying.
No, I listen. I'm from Chicago. I know how the fix is in.
You don't care about people who are fraud.
What do you think? Okay. Isn't Biden a fraud and Hunter Biden? Yeah. I mean, they got paid $3 million
two months after
he lost left office. What? Multiple millions, but we're learning of $3 million. Yeah. For doing what? For doing nothing. And they used a middle. It was all
how black Kamala Harris.
Yeah, you're barking up the wrong tree, brother.
All right, bye, John.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
I mean, he has a right to his opinion.
He does. Yeah. He does.
All right, let's
try to call me out on something. I still believe the election was. I don't think that election was fair. That election wasn't fair. 2022 was not a fair election. These people have devised a system to take our republic. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, we're going to lose it further. Simple, point blank, period.
Never win an election unless we play their same game.
Exactly.
All right, Greg and LaGrange, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Good. How are you guys doing? John Anthony, nice to hear you, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I agree with everything Tom from Blue Island said. And let's not make this thing about Trump, because that's the great distraction that those leftists want to do, is they want to distract. What this administration's about and what this ideological bent of this party in power is all about is control and absolute submission. Submission of parents to the state. Submission of children to the state. Submission of businesses to the state. And that's all they want to do. Climate change cannot be controlled by any amount of dollars because there's nothing you can do about it. They're lying about everything. It's the old Soviet Union story all over again. Read your history.
Yeah.
They're lying to us. We know they're lying to us. They know we're lying to them, but yet they still lie. They will continue to lie, and the press will continue to cover for them. And when you have people call up and talk about Trump or talk about this or talk about that, that's a distraction, because what this administration has done, as John Anthony has pointed out, is basically – let foreign powers walk all over us in the name of becoming part of some greater good, which can never be achieved, but will always come at the submission of the citizens of this country. And I think that's what we need to remember. It doesn't come down to all the distractions about Trump or black or white. We're all ideologically on the same side. We're all the same, and we all need to pull together.
Amen.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Greg.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Open mic! Open mic Friday! Call in now! Open mic Friday!
Oh yeah, grab a line, 312-642-5600. Turnkey Depro answer line. You're smiling. What do you want to say, John? We'll start with you.
I'm smirking.
Okay. What are you smirking about?
You know, here's the deal. I understand white liberals despise us black conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my message. We don't want or need to be saved like you think we are. We are critical thinkers. We think. You can't use the race baiting against us, and that's what you hate.
Oh, they hate
that. We are not somebody that will succumb to the fear tactics and the because listen, white Republican men, they always go on the defense. I'm offensive minded. I'm a pushback.
That's
why I got a MAGA. And I hope
so
he saw
it. So you wear that downtown, right?
I will wear whatever I want to wear it at. In the hood, I will wear this hat. And
you.
Dare somebody to run up on me. And the thing about it, Jenna Ellis never said, she didn't admit that she just said that it wasn't taken. She didn't have the exact number. Sean Thompson,
okay.
Thanks for the hat tip on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so that caller said it was 500 votes that she lied about.
She said she just didn't have the correct number. She didn't lie. But again, media and all these leftist social media and news agencies that you listen to, that's where you get it from. But here's the deal. Everything they said Trump was Biden and his crime family is.
Yep.
Think about right. that.
Can you imagine if Trump's kids were yes. having dealings with Ukraine power company and with China?
Yes.
And $3 million was wired
exactly.
to their friend?
Exactly. Everything that they came after Trump. And Trump was right about it all.
Yeah. They're spying on me. And then they distributed the money to other
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. So miss me with that. I ain't the one.
All right. I'm going to get something off my chest.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't. This voicemail. This
not sorry.
Voicemail. This guy's not nice. I got to block this guy, too.
Partisan Hate Radio is back alive and well because of people like you and former President Trump, you f***ing whore.
Ooh. Oh, he didn't say whore, like Sean says. He got to get the Sean whores.
So I'm wondering, is that really actually maybe just Sean Thompson calling me?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
All right, real quickly, in Utah, near Provo, don't you know, there's a middle school there, and a middle school teacher who thinks very highly of herself, and she's decided to tell the children, you know, this is called, climate change religion. She told the kids, don't eat meat. Cows are killing this planet, and you have to eat bugs. This is part of their climate assignment. And listen for yourself.
Because we don't have any evidence to support it. But should we be eating bugs? Yeah, because we're killing the world by raising cows and animals. So there's only one right answer for this essay, and it's that Americans should be eating bugs.
Can you imagine? There's only one right answer for this essay. So the mom went on Fox News.
I've already went to the school and had a meeting with the principal and six other staff, and nothing was done. So I am planning on taking this to the district. I am definitely upset. This is an uncomfortable topic that they're pushing this agenda on our children, and I am definitely going to be taking this a step way up the ladder further.
Okay, so then I love Jesse Waters. Big fan.
I love
this is great.
Does the Sage, does the teacher eat bugs too? Like, at lunch?
No. But
not.
She did say that she ate one in a different class, but she wouldn't eat one in the class that I was in with the kids.
But she made all the kids eat a bug.
Oh, so she doesn't eat bugs for lunch every day. She just wants you to. I got it. Well, that's what we call unfair in prime time.
It's also called hypocrisy. Remember, she said there's only one right answer.
Right.
So this is what the school said. I love this. When the teacher realized there was a concern, the student was offered another topic of the student's choice. Remember, this particular assignment is about finding facts versus opinions to support writing an argumentative essay. Uh-huh. Really finding facts? There's only one right answer.
Right.
That's not finding facts. All right. To the phone lines we go. And once somebody drops, feel free to call in because more lines will be open. Let's go to Dawn in Naperville. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Hey, Dawn.
Good morning. I want to thank you so much for that story about Lucas Duffy, how he lost his shoe. The poor guy, I was reading the story. He's here from West Virginia. I mean, you know, couple nights in Chicago and that's what happens, huh?
Yeah, he's lucky because he said he fell, you know, when he mentioned he fell down, he was near the highway. I mean, he could have died.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at least he's alive and hopefully he'll find his shoe, I guess.
What? No judgment.
Sounds like
no judgment.
Ones.
Yes.
But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to let everybody know that the Bolingbroke Golf Club is hosting the Hope Special Needs Prom.
Oh.
It's going to be on Thursday, June 22nd from 5 to 10. So if you have a high schooler or an adult with special needs, go ahead and register. And they are looking for sponsors. So if you go to helpingotherpeopleenjoy.org, you can sign up to attend or you can sign up as a sponsor. I sponsored them last year. Amy, if you want to go to a prom, maybe take Dan with you.
Wait. I could go to another prom.
Absolutely.
And Dan's never been to a prom.
Just don't lose your shoe.
Never. I know. Don't lose my shoe. It's like the reverse of Cinderella story. What is the date again? March what?
June. It's Thursday, June 22nd at Bolingbroke Golf Course from 5 to 10, helping other people enjoy that. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
All okay, right. helpingotherpeopleenjoy.org. Thank you so much for the phone call. So you can.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Call
Bye-bye.
In about anything. Did you ever go to prom?
Yeah.
How many proms did
Two.
You go to? Guess
Mine
how many
and,
I went to.
How many?
I said guess.
Four.
Eight.
Whoa, whoa, what?
And I wore the same dress. Yep. Chuck and Delavan. Oh, no, no, I'm not taking you yet. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing?
Oh,
gosh. This is like a cardinal sin.
Oh, the end
no,
of the show.
No, Chuck is at, for the end the of the end. Show. Wow. Dan will be back Monday. Don't worry, folks. It's all going to be okay. Terry and Rogers Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Brandon Johnson won't be defunding the police. They've already been defunded by our unwise, inconsiderate politicians.
Okay.
Good point.
Good point. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And real quick, so Brandon Johnson, you know, I'm going to hire 200 detectives right away. You know, take more police officers off the streets and bring them to the detective division. Yeah. And here's Paul Vallis's response.
New York has 6,000 detectives. That's not smart policing. Smart policing is filling the vacancies and pushing the police officers down to the local beats so they can respond within minutes of a 911 call.
I agree with that. You don't need to be top heavy.
No, you need
the grunts on the street.
All right, let's go to who should we go? Oh, Bob in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Bob. Good. Good morning, Amy, and you too, John.
Bobby O.
It's great talking to you, the both of you. Let me change the topic a little bit. Regarding the collapse of the SVB issue, and let me offer the following as I was unable to get through earlier in the week. Amy knows that I've been active in STEM worker issues for over 30 years.
Bob, we all know.
Yeah. One aspect has been the apparent shortages of skilled American professionals and the need for more temporary foreign workers via the H-1B visa program. I doubt your listeners know much about the H-1B program. I decided to check to see if possibly there was some connection to the SVB collapse and found out, guess what? SVB Financials uses dozens and dozens of foreign workers via this program.
Really?
I guess they couldn't staff up to find American citizens. Now I'm just wondering if someone in the news media will start digging into this issue. And it's also its connections to Silicon Valley companies that also use these foreign worker visas. There's something going on here. And I just wonder if there's anything to look at with regards to the connection between SVB and the Silicon Valley companies.
All right.
So I just offer that.
Anybody who was anybody, it was Cool Cat, was banking at SVB. That was the word on the street. And we know that Gavin Newsom's wife got $100,000 from SVB for one of her charities. Gavin Newsom himself invested in 3 wineries, and the financing came from, you know, donors, but their money was being held at SVB. All right. Thanks, Bob, for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go to George in Naperville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy. Maybe the Jesse Mollett attackers could get together with Milli Vanilli and they can do a television series called The Deceivers. Jesse could star in some of the episodes and everyone can be happy.
Oh, that's good. I know. Hey, Justin, can you put back on the board the apology to America last night on Hannity? I think it was in green. And it was pretty, you know, I don't know. I can't wait to watch that Fox Nation, their thing on Fox Nation. So it's going to be good. Here we go. This is their apology to America.
As far as when
to Republicans.
Apologize to everyone in the audience, the country, and anyone who might have been affected by this directly. When we were asked to partake in this, we really didn't foresee the ramifications of what something like this could do to the country.
You're sorry you participated in it.
Yeah. We allowed our ambition to cloud our judgment.
Were you getting paid?
It wasn't about the money.
Yeah. What was it about for you then?
The opportunity.
Opportunity to?
We were activists. So we are activists. We are activists. And Jesse, right.
I'm acting as a talk show.
You want to do a hoax?
I'm hoping one day. Maybe I'll get there.
So Jesse was in a position where he could help us, because in the acting world, it's who you know, not what you know. So us helping him out would have helped us out.
Do you accept his apology?
Of course.
I do, too.
Yes.
Good for them. All right. Tim and Berwyn, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
A pint a pound, the world round's a rule that I find troubling.
For Guinness Stout in Irish pubs, that figure you'll be Dublin. And if you like to take a sip with your Irish doggerel, but Guinness Stout just doesn't suit, then maybe a nice lagerel. Don't cook the cat, don't fry the kitty, although it's plump and very pretty. A sprig of this, a pinch of that, your supper oughtn't be the cat. Roast on a spit or cat flambé, I would not recommend today. Siamese or calico, I'm afraid I'd still say no. So if you're in around the house or around the town, don't eat a mouser. Tis a wondrous thing when one repents of sampling cats with condiments.
Wow, very well said. Thank you very much. The St. Patrick's Day poem. Happy Irish Day, you people. St. Patrick's Day. Happy Irish Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Let's go to Bob in Edison Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, you guys, you know what shocks me, or maybe it doesn't shock me? Why hasn't the press, and why has it died? What I'm talking about is when the whole Jesse Smollett scandal was breaking, there was an envelope received to him. I believe it was a hate-filled letter with some white powder.
Yep. All right. Right.
Oh, this white powder, whether it's a hoax or real, is a way more serious offense than all the allegations about the hate crime hoax. And this is also a federal charge, and it has absolutely disappeared. It's been whitewashed, not just by the press, which is a joke, and even these conservative talk shows. I don't know why this hasn't been brought up. It's always about the hate crime hoax. Well, it is what it is. But right. this is a terrorist allegation, and since we like to throw the word terrorist around all the time for every possible thing, this is a fact. This happened. There is evidence to this, and there has got to be evidence on that envelope. There has got to be evidence
on
all
that.
Over.
Yeah. I know.
You talked about this yesterday.
If I was in Hannity's shoes, I would have asked, did you guys cut the letters out of the magazine and send the fake death threat letter to Jesse Smollett at the studio where he was working in Chicago?
Right.
Because, you know, remember, he did this all because he wanted more money.
Yeah.
He wanted to increase his profile.
Yeah.
He wanted to be viral. And, he went viral, but for all the wrong reasons. Let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Johnny.
Hey, Kevin.
Thanks for taking my call. Johnny Anthony, great to hear your passion earlier in the show.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys, I just want to mention this. There's still school board meetings or school board elections coming up. It's very important for people. You know, let's not forget what kind of hell we were put through by these children were through school boards. And I hope that at some time, perhaps you can convince Sean Thompson that people should get involved at the precinct level to change the Republican Party, because I know you're a big advocate of that. Yep. And I think that's what's going to hopefully change Illinois.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. Rich in Indian Head Park, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Good morning,
St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
What I wanted to talk about today is how selfish and disrespectful the LGBT community is. They want everyone to respect what they believe, but yet they turn around and don't respect what other people believe. And the one thing that I really disagree with is how they try to brainwash the little children in the schools by showing these tasteless books and how to use sex toys. The little kids are going to figure out how they feel. They don't need to be brainwashed or confused by that community.
I know. And it's hard. I mean, kids are impulsive and they're immature, and your job as a parent is to be the parent to guide them.
They'll figure it out.
They will.
And Amy,
they do.
This is for you.
Yeah.
The women out there have to speak up about these transgenders trying to take their positions, especially in women's sports. If they have to not show up for games or...
That's a different topic, right? I thank you for the phone call, but yeah,
Sound like Joe Pesci?
That is not going to be my fight. Pardon?
Because
we
like
played
Joe
against
Pesci?
Transgender. We played a game, and you know, some parents wanted to leave, and I said, "Oh no!" That was after the strike. I'm like, "Oh no! We are playing this game, and we won."
Yeah, but I still
don't
think
it's
right.
Just like I said,
I do not think it's right that trans play in a male plays in the female's role. I'm not for it. I'm not with it.
Chuck and Delavan, you're going to close us out on this St. Patrick's Day.
Locked out the last 2 weeks. I couldn't get through. I apologize to everybody. Hey, this is a big shout-out to my grandma up in heaven. Her name was Dorothy Boyle, and she came from Donegal. And when she passed away, she was 87 years old, and she was responsible for having 87 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren.
Wow, what a lovely lady.
Yep. So everybody get out to Lake Geneva this week. They got a new place over there right south of the City Hall where you can throw axes and drink beer.
Oh, you can do the axe thing? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I need to do that.
And then Sunday they got the D-Light Duel at the tap room where you got a key fob and you're your own bartender. It's great.
Wow. Oh. I mean, they're so advanced up in Lake Geneva. All right, Chuck, thanks for calling. Place. And to everyone, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.